Glad to see everyone here. I hope you've had a good Thanksgiving. We certainly have at our home. My brother John Paul, Dr. John Paul, is with us this week. One reason I enjoy his coming to visit with me is he's always reading. Now, he reads books on why we know that the creation is a true story. And he reads books that he understands that I wouldn't, but they're written by biochemists and by astronomers. So that's his mind. Of course, he got that training here in Galveston in medical school many years ago. And he reads so much, and he shares that information with me, and I'm always glad to hear it. Although he prefaces with saying, I know you won't understand the book, so I'll tell you what it means. And this morning is special for me, as always, to have Don and Helen Bryan, their daughter Micah, sitting up the front. Don and I go back, let's see, since 1955, so that's 60s. Some odd years as friends, and it's always encouraging for Don and Helen to be in the audience with us. And I met some people, this is interesting, to me at least. I know one family in the whole state of Kentucky, one family in one town. Well, that town happens to be Paducah, Kentucky. And so when they said, we're from Paducah, Kentucky, I said, I know somebody in Paducah, Kentucky, Joe and Nancy Powell. You remember Bobby Powell, who was in our class, Don? That's his older brother. And they said, we go to church with the Powells. And so I had a nice visit with them. Her name, we were at Abilene all together, he was Joe Powell. And she was Nancy Powell. And when they got married, we called her Nancy Powell Powell. So anyway, it's wonderful to visit for a while with our good friends from Kentucky, and I hope you will tell the Powells hello for us. And in the visitors this week, we have Neil Thurman and his wife. They are teachers in the Galveston School District. I'm disappointed that Sarah Mills, who is one of the administrators at Ball High, is not here this morning. They're out of town. But we're glad to have. And Neil has preached for the University Church in Tyler for the last 19 years, which is quite a record, I'll tell you that for sure. And we're glad to have Neil and his wife with us. She teaches at Austin. And of course, Kylie, who's part of our congregation, they're also visiting away. But Kylie had the highest grade point average last year at Austin School. So we're glad to have meet one of the teachers at Austin. Others are visiting with us, and we're so glad to have your presence. This Thanksgiving, I have been most mindful and most thankful for the extraordinary blessings that God has fulfilled in my prayers for those who have gone through great crises of their lives. People that I wondered if they were going to survive, and people who had serious health issues that are dear to my heart, and I poured out prayers for them, and the fact that those prayers were answered, that's what I've been most thankful for. And Sarah Campbell is among that. Sarah Campbell had heart surgery 2 weeks ago tomorrow. Heart surgery, replaced a valve in her heart. She had it on Monday, went home on Tuesday, and is at church with us again today. And so I'm thankful to God. I want to read from Psalm 103. If you are like me, you have certain scriptures written in the flyleaf of your Bible. And in the list of those scriptures that have spoken to me so powerfully at times, I have Psalm 103. I want to read for our text this morning the first few verses of that psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I like the reading out of the image or the message translation. It says, O my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. O my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. From head to toe, that means all of us and all of what we are and who we are. In the South, we say it like this. From headlock to bunion, that's the phrase to mean everything about a person. From headlock to bunion, you praise God. The psalm beckons us to praise God with all of our heart, our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Our praise to him must not be superficial of words only, for Jesus said one time, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So it is possible for people to recite words of praise or to sing praise songs and still be spiritually apart from God. Remember the benefits. It is a fearful thing, awful thing, to forget the benefits of God. The story of King Hezekiah's life in 2 Chronicles, the Bible says, his heart was proud. He did not respond to the kindness shown him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. That kindness that was bestowed upon him was a blessing from God that saved him from his deathbed. And after he got well and he became proud in his heart, he did not respond to the kindness that God had shown. List all his benefits. Why make a list? Well, to remind ourselves of his blessings. In a moment of depression or in backsliding, you may forget the wonderful benefits that you have received from God. We used to sing the hymn entitled, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one, and the words included this statement, it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Make the list. Another reason is you make the list because sometimes when it goes so good for you, you may forget the source of those benefits. Deuteronomy chapter 8. When you have eaten and are satisfied and praised the Lord your God for the good land he has given you, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. In both my secular calling and spiritual calling, I have been around and associated with many very wealthy people. And boy, there is a difference in the secular world when you're around people that I would call very, very rich folks as their attitude toward others and toward life, as opposed to those in the church who are very, very wealthy, but who remember Deuteronomy and who do not claim that it is by their might and their power that they have gained wealth, but always recognize that that blessing has come as a gift from God and must be used in a wise and way of stewardship. Great difference in the people, even though they may have the same amount of wealth, but in their attitude toward that wealth, depending on whether they think it's by their own bootstraps that they've received it or whether it has come as a gift from God. Among the blessings that he says that he has reserved for us is the blessing that of forgiveness of sins. That's the first of the list that he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. That is something that we as Christians must remind ourselves of, because we cannot forget our sins. And we have to say to ourselves, God forgets our sins. And he, later in this psalm, he expresses it in this way. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Every Christian is sensitive, and every Christian is so sensitive that sometimes we think, will the Lord really forgive me? And we read this psalm, and it says, as far as the east is from the west. There's another place in Scripture that I like where it describes the degree of forgiveness when it says he deposits those sins in the deepest part of the ocean. Then he says, not only he who forgives us all our sins, but he heals all our diseases. We pray for the sick here. We have for all the years that I've been here. And sometimes our prayers are not received and answered in the way that we want them to, but so many times we have seen those prayers answered, and those who have been very ill have become well. Now, I know that a lot of illnesses is psychosomatic. The Bible tells us this. Even before science had determined that so many of our illnesses are really due to our mental states as well as our physical well-being. In the 32nd Psalm, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. My groaning was all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my sins to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of all my sins. What a graphic description of what we would call today the psychosomatic effects of sin. But I don't believe that everything that we should pray for in terms of illness is because of some psychosomatic problem. We read in the book of of Philippians about the minister who had come from Philippi to serve the Apostle Paul while he was in jail, and what happened when he came. He said, when the Apostle Paul was talking about it, he said he was sick. He was very sick. You heard he was sick. Yes, he was. He was sick, it looked like, unto death. But that I might not have woe upon woe, the Lord healed him of his sickness. It was not a psychosomatic illness that Epaphroditus was suffering. It was a real illness caused by the things that which caused disease. And he was really sick, and he was on his sickbed. And you can, the pathos of Paul kneeling in prayer and saying, you know, Lord, you put me through a lot. I'm in jail. This good man came all this way to help me. He's sick. I just don't think I can take this if you take his life. I can't stand the strain of worry upon worry. So please, God, heal him. And he did. What a wonderful thing. The blessings of God. He heals all our diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. What does that mean? Well, the pit in the Psalms refers most often to death. That being on death's door, as we express it. I mentioned the story of Hezekiah. There is in 2 Kings the story of Hezekiah and the mission that the prophet Isaiah had. Isaiah came to the king's palace. God had sent him there. God told Isaiah, you go and tell King Hezekiah, he's going to die. He's not going to survive. Well, that's an awesome responsibility. I feel so sorry for those in the medical profession who have to give the announcement, there's nothing more we can do. It's, you know, your loved one's going to die. Just soon not be that messenger. Isaiah went to Hezekiah and he said, Hezekiah, you put your things in order because the Lord has said you're going to die. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he started weeping and crying. And he said, Lord, I've been your servant. I've done good for you. Remember me. Isaiah was going out of the room. He had delivered his message. And God said to Hezekiah, I'm going to give you 15 more years. I've heard your prayer. Hezekiah was at the pit. And a prophet of God had told him, you're going into that pit. You're going down to Sheol. You're going to die. But the Lord answered the prayer of Hezekiah and his plea for more life. And he said, I'll give you 15 more years. And he called Isaiah back to the room, God did, and said, I've decided to give him 15 more years. You go back and you tell Hezekiah, he has more time now. I'm bringing him back from that pit. I think that's what he means. He saves us from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things. If you're a child of God, you're crowned with love and compassion. What more do we crave as a person than that we feel loved and compassionate? And that's what a Christian feels. He will not always accuse, the psalmist says, nor will he harbor anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. There is this phrase in verse 8 of this psalm, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And you know, that phrase is used so often in throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament, that it's almost become a trademark. It crosses generations of time in the writings of the Bible. And the writings repeat this statement, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. One of the greatest differences between Christianity and the other religions of the world is our God is not impassive. Our God is not full of anger. Our God is filled with love and compassion, and he expresses that to us. Well, I hope that you may even mark this in your Bible as one of the verses to go to. I go to it frequently. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits. The benefits that we have as believers, they are so many. They are so true. And sometimes, like this year, I personally see that this is so true of God. And I'm so thankful for it. And that's what I've been thinking about in these past few days. We're going to sing two verses of the song that's been announced. And if you want to confess your faith in Christ and be baptized this morning, we welcome that. If you want to have prayer with us while we stand to sing, we invite you to come to the front.
Thank you, Alan, for the very timely message. And the reminder about Joe, let's make a personal commitment to try to bring somebody with us. Bring somebody else into the congregation to hear Joe speak. And let's be mindful of Sarah. Where's Sarah? Raise your hand, Sarah, and say somebody, God bless you, and it's such a pleasure to see you, my dear. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Precious Lord, we humbly approach your throne of grace. And we say thank you, Heavenly Father, for the relationship you've allowed us to share with you. The relationship, Heavenly Father, of us as being loving servants. And your relationship with us, Heavenly Father, as a comforter, as an informer, as a person, Heavenly Father, we can go to in our times of need. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we always do that, that we understand that you, Heavenly Father, are in control. That we, Heavenly Father, sometimes think of ourselves as being commanders of our own ships, but we know that we're ships afloat without you and your guidance. Let us always remember, Heavenly Father, that you are the Father and we are your children. And as such, Heavenly Father, in those roles, we remain steadfast in knowing that you know best as we read in your holy writ. As we leave this place for our visitors, Heavenly Father, we thank them for being here, and we pray that they take away from here something that will comfort them in their return home. And for our members and the ones that are here today, good to see all of you, and let's be sure to try to bring somebody with us next Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed, folks.